The scandal of Easter starts last week, but continues today. God's unpredictable spirit. We hear the story in Acts of Peter, who was with the disciples in John's gospel, locked up and afraid. But then in the story of Acts, we hear Peter preaching in public, healing the sick, going out, growing a backbone. Unpredictable. Unpredictable. God shows up in unpredictable, surprising, and uncomfortable ways. And I'm going to show you something that might be all three of those things: surprising, unpredictable, and uncomfortable. So get ready. Be prepared. But ask yourself this important question, a question that I invite you to ask yourself all the time. How might God's Holy Spirit be saying something through this?
Crazy, but that's how it goes.
So what did you hear? Noise. Well, exactly. Hold on to that, Elsie. That's good. All right, what else did you hear? What else did you hear? What else did you see? Reactions. A lament. Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. It's complicated. Scott's like, what's going on? What was he going to say, Connie?
The human condition.
The human condition. Okay. Yeah. Anybody else? Anybody else? Renee? What do you think? What? You should wear more mascara. Yeah. Yeah. What? I mean, maybe it was a little uncomfortable. Be like, why is Pastor Aaron showing this video? It's weird rock and roll in church. I don't understand it. This doesn't make sense to me. This isn't what usually happens in church. Okay, hold on to that question. That's good. I want you to feel that, whatever that is. When I lived in Egypt, I think I felt maybe similar to how many of you might be feeling right now. Everybody in Egypt, when you go and buy something, you have to negotiate. And I hate negotiating. In America, when you buy something, you go to the store, it has a price on it, you take it up to the counter, you say, here's my money, and they say, here's the object. There you go. Done. Easy peasy, rice and cheesy. All done. Right? But in Egypt, that's not how it is. You have to negotiate for everything. I remember going to buy a scarf. It was cold. I went to buy a scarf. There was a little stall on the side of the street, you know, a guy selling scarves. And I said, how much is it for this scarf? Because I'm thinking American, he's going to tell me a fair price, and I'm going to pay that price. And if I don't like the price, I'm going to go to the next scarf seller down the road. And he goes, yes, that will be $100,000. Not really, I'm exaggerating, but he said something like astronomical, and I was like, what are you talking about? That's not how much this costs. And I said, it should cost this much, or $2 or whatever. And he's like, no, it costs $1,000. And I'm like, what are you? I'm like losing my mind. I'm like, this is not how it goes. This is how the train goes forward. You tell me a good price, I pay you the money, you give me the thing. And that's not how it works in Egypt. And I was getting very frustrated. This was how it happened all the time. But here I was expecting everyone in Egypt to become an American and start selling like Americans. You can probably guess how that went, right? It wasn't until my mom and sister came to visit me and I was riding in a taxi, and in taxis they don't have meters, so there's no standard price. And I had ridden a taxi from the conference center where we stayed to the train station dozens and dozens of times, so I knew the price. But this time I had my mom and my sister with me, and we looked like American rich tourists. And so we take the taxi to the train station, and we get off, and the guy says, it's going to be $50,000. Not really, he didn't say that. But he said, it's going to be a lot of money. And I said, it is not going to be a lot of money. I've ridden this route for this, in Arabic too. I couldn't do it now, but in Arabic. And my mom is like, what is going on? And I get out of the taxi, and I start pulling the bags out of the trunk, and I'm saying, I'm going to call the police. This is crazy. You're trying to rob us. And my parents are like, what is happening? I had to learn a new language. I had to act in a different way. And this taxi driver was totally, he was like totally calm. He was like, because this happens all the time. This is normal. Me expecting them to just have a meter and have the price, whatever. That would be weird. I had finally learned how to speak Egyptian and handle things the way Egyptians do. Although it was totally uncomfortable for me and not how good people act. That's why my mom and my sister were like, what is going on? But that's the way it was with the Pharisees and the religious leaders and the people who dressed like me back in Jesus' time. You see, we like to villainize those guys, but they weren't bad. They were good. They were doing their best according to what they thought was right and good. They were trying to do what God wanted them to do according to the traditions that they had been handed by their fathers and their fathers' fathers and the fathers' fathers before them. They were the good people. They were the people that other people looked up to and aspired to. They were the role models. But now it felt like there was a crazy train coming into town, and his name was Jesus. And everything was going off the rails. Jesus came into town, stirring up the crowd, saying he was the king, teaching and doing things that just didn't make sense according to what good people do and how good people understand God's law. Healing on the Sabbath. Allowing his disciples not to wash their hands. Allowing his disciples to pick up food out of the fields on the Sabbath day. They were going insane. And now his followers, they were going off the rails. They were doing exactly the same thing that Jesus was doing. Jesus wasn't stopped by being crucified. That's the scandal of Easter. Death did not stop Jesus from doing the things that he came to earth to do. And now that he had ascended into heaven, his disciples were doing the exact same thing. Healing people, casting out demons, proclaiming forgiveness and repentance in God's name. And the good people, the leaders, the people who had a lock on what it meant to be a good person, were losing their minds. They were singing, we're going off the rails on a crazy train. We got to do something. We got to shut these people up. They said, we got to shut them up. But you can't shut us up. Whoops. Can't shut us up. The good people, the religious leaders, the people who everyone looked up to, they did the right thing according to what they understood was best. They brought the disciples into the courtroom and they said, you have to stop blaspheming God and hurting us by healing in Jesus' name and by proclaiming and teaching that he's resurrected from the dead. Stop doing that. But did the disciples shut up? Julie, did the disciples shut up? Paul, the disciples shut up? Well, I guess we're all here today, right? Because they didn't shut up, right, Al? No, they didn't keep quiet. They didn't keep quiet. This whole chapter ends with the disciples rejoicing and going out and proclaiming all the more that Jesus was raised from the dead. Really, they're... And you have to remember, too, that these guys, they didn't have master's degrees. They hadn't studied the Bible all their lives. Paul had, but not Peter. He was a fisherman. He couldn't read. They were uneducated and ordinary men. That's what it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. But they were witnesses to what Jesus had done and was doing in, with, and through them. And they couldn't keep it to themselves. And that's what the Holy Spirit was even doing. That's what it says in our readings today, Acts chapter 5, verse 32. The Holy Spirit was going ahead of them, opening up people's hearts and minds to hear about the resurrection of Christ and the life that he was doing. And this was making the leaders in the temple afraid and jealous. They're like, oh, something is going on. What is going on? We speak for God, not those people. We're going off the rails on a crazy train. We got to put this down. We got to put this down. We got to turn the volume down. But you can't keep us. Can't keep us down. Dead people don't stay dead. Jesus wouldn't stay in the ground. And the disciples wouldn't stop doing what they were doing. Remind me, what are the signs of Pentecost? Anybody? What are the signs of Pentecost? What happened on Pentecost? Kathy, what happened on Pentecost? Flames? Flames? What else? Wind? Okay. Spoken many languages. Okay, so let me... Thank you. So, what do you think... Was it a flame like this nice little petite flame? You know, it's funny. We see these illustrations. But if there was a mighty wind blowing, those flames were probably more like a forest fire, which is the background image up there. It's blurred out on purpose, but that's what that is behind the blur. It was a mighty wind. It was loud. It was noisy. There were people talking in different languages. People didn't understand what was happening. They thought the disciples were drunk. It didn't make sense. It was uncomfortable. The fire was burning. It was not tame or domesticated or normal. It had more in common, I think, with that Ozzy Osbourne video than maybe some of the songs that we sing on Sunday morning. Pentecost did. And now God's Spirit was moving, doing things with these disciples, and it was driving the good people crazy. Something is messed up. The dead are supposed to stay dead. And now they're proclaiming that Jesus is raised. We're going off the rails on a crazy train. They were probably yanking their hair out. Oh my gosh. We've got to lock them up. We've got to lock them up. But how did that turn out? How did that turn out, Lori? Did they stay in jail? How many times? Do you know how many times they got locked up? Jane, do you remember? How many times did they get locked up? One, two, three. I don't actually know. Many times. Could the jails hold them? No. An angel came, busted them out of jail. It's so, I love this story because they're healing on the steps of the temple, right? This is how this chapter starts. They're healing on the steps of the temple. Everybody from all around are coming, placing the sick. They have giant crowds of people. They're there at the temple, on the doorstep of the good people, the people who should know better, the people who are supposed to be in charge of this thing, but who the wheels are off the tracks, right? And they're like, we got to stop this. So they throw him in jail. And then the next day, they're back. They're back on the steps of the temple, doing it all again. What would you do if that happened? You know, in the Bible it says they tore their clothes. I imagine they were tearing their clothes. Wow, they were going insane. We throw these people in jail, they're saying, and they're now back on the steps of the temple. Ah, we got to get this thing back on the track. This is a crazy train. We're going off the rails. Ah! We've got to stop them. But you can't stop us now. You can't stop us now. More and more people were added each day to their numbers. The Holy Spirit kept drawing them in through the preaching and the healing and the works of the Holy Spirit. People from not only Jerusalem, but the surrounding towns kept bringing people to hear what the disciples were doing in the name of Jesus, our risen Savior. And they had them flogged and they had them released. And what was interesting about this is that the Holy Spirit had gathered such a group that the people who had all the power stopped having all the power. The disciples, or the religious leaders, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the priests in the temple, the people who thought they could stop it by killing Jesus and ordering the disciples to stop preaching and ordering the apostles put in jail, they couldn't stop it anymore because they didn't have the power. God had the power, and God was doing something new and uncomfortable to them, unpredictable. And it couldn't be stopped. There was a great crowd gathered there, as I mentioned, and we would call them today protesters. We would call them today protesters or a movement or dissidents or insurgents, maybe. But because of the crowd, they couldn't execute police brutality against the apostles anymore because they were afraid of the crowd. They were afraid of the protesters. God was doing something different. And the group that had gathered made them listen. And here's the interesting thing. They thought it was going off the rails, and they had every right to think it was going off the rails. They were the good people, remember. When I was in Egypt, I grew up with you guys. There was nothing wrong about the way that I learned to interact commercially. But what I learned did not work in the new world in Egypt. There was nothing wrong necessarily with what the good people who were leading, the religious leaders, had learned, their traditions. They were doing their best. They were trying their hardest. But they were wrong about what God was doing in the world. God's Spirit was doing something different in Jesus. Dead people don't say dead. God raised Jesus from the dead. Who could have predicted that? Jesus did, but he was the only one. So the question for you guys today is, how might God's Spirit be moving in ways that you could never have predicted? You are all good people. I am a good person. We are doing our best to do what God wants. But sometimes God is speaking through Ozzy Osbourne, and it might feel like we're going off the rails on a crazy train. But when that happens, think to yourself, like Gamaliel did, who was one of the leaders in the temple. He said, He said to the other leaders, and it took a lot of courage. Think about this. It took a lot of courage for this Jewish Sadducee or teacher, Pharisee, to say this. He said, you know what, guys? Maybe God is with those disciples. And we should be careful because we might be hindering God. Even good people get it wrong about what God is doing. So how might God's Spirit be moving ways that you could never have predicted? You know, what this taught me when I was in Egypt is that, you know, I could speak up, that there were different ways of interacting with humans, and that the way I had learned wasn't wrong, but in this place, it didn't work. How might God's Spirit be moving us into a different place where we need to learn a different language? Or a different way of interacting. I couldn't change all of Egypt any more than the Pharisees could stop the Holy Spirit. Finally then, as is written on your sheet, how might God's Spirit be driving you then to speak up or act out on behalf of those loud, crazy, uncomfortable voices, the Ozzy Osbournes in your life, the places where you feel like things are going off the rails on a crazy train? Maybe that's exactly where God's Holy Spirit is doing something new. And God is inviting you to listen. Amen.